do not want attention on Christmas. But yet they're throughout the whole Christmas story, from the announcement to Zacharias that he was going to have a son to prepare the way for the Messiah, to announcement to this young, poor teenager that she's going to bear God's son, to announcement to her husband-to-be that another human being has not caused her to be pregnant, so go ahead and marry her, but keep her a virgin until she gives birth. And then, of course, that announcement that we read this morning to those shepherds in the field Christmas night, that God's own son was born. Who are these beings that don't want attention, but yet are throughout the story? The angels. The angels who are God's servants. The angels who are our servants. They are made by God to give him praise and to serve us who will inherit salvation. Now, there's good angels and there's bad angels. The bad angels fell when Satan fell in his pride, and he took a third of all the angels with him. Today, we know them as demons. But the vast majority of angels are on duty for God to serve those who will inherit eternal life. And this morning, I'd like us to look at Christmas through the eyes of angels and see what they were thinking on Christmas and to learn some things from them. Not that we need to be like angels, but yet their attitude toward sinful people is an attitude that God shares and he wants us to have as well. We're going to end up looking in Revelation 7, where we're going to see a scene that will actually take place in the future of angels, and look at what they will be singing about, because they will be singing about the very things they sang about on Christmas. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 9, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, before the shepherds. All of a sudden, out there in the field, there was this angel. And as Mary and Zacharias and Joseph, the angel says, "Hey, it's okay. Just be an angel. No big deal. I know you haven't seen one of us before, but fear not, because I've got good news for you." Angels are, for the most part, invisible. You cannot see them. This room, I believe, is filled with angels. There's an angel for every believer. Children have angels in heaven representing them. And what all that means, and I don't know. In Hebrews 1:14, as you think about angels being invisible, Hebrews chapter 1, I don't hear pages turning. Hebrews 1:14. It's a whole passage here about angels and how Jesus is far greater than any of the angels. So don't worship angels, worship Jesus. But in Hebrews 1:14, it talks about angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? They are spirit beings. You cannot see them. Becky and I were in a car accident around Christmas time, when we were about 19 and 17, and we ended up hitting black ice, going 55 miles an hour, ran into a big tree. The tree didn't move. Our car got squished. People drove by while we were unconscious, and the wife said to the husband, "Should we stop and see if there's anyone in the car?" The husband said, "If there was, they wouldn't have survived." I believe there were angels there that somehow kept the car so that when it collapsed into us, it came right next to us but didn't go into us. I do believe in angels. Now, that doesn't mean y'all ought to go out in the icy cold and go 50 miles an hour. But it is a good thing to know that nothing is going to happen to us unless God allows it to happen. And if he has a plan for us to do something on New Year's Day, he's going to put his angels to work to help us. They are invisible spirits, but they take on visible forms, and that's what this angel does in Luke chapter 2, verse 9. He that was all of a sudden standing there before them. In the book of Genesis, there's three men, the Bible says, come to Abraham. Two of the men leave and they head off to Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the next chapter it says, and the two angels blinded the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and brought fire and brimstone. These angels appeared as men. And often they appear in Scripture as men. And there are many accounts. I encourage you to pick up Billy Graham's old book, Angels. Can you remember that title? It is a very good book. It gives example after example of how angels have made themselves visible and served God's people for God's work. Angels are invisible. They take on visible forms. They serve God. That's what they're all about. And oh, that we could be like them in our military-like obedience to God. Psalm 103:20 says this, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word." It's like these angels are at attention, always ready for the marching orders. It's like when I was in track and field and I was getting ready to run and my whole body was at attention, ready for that gun to go. Are we, each moment when we get up and spend some time with God, do we leave at attention, ready for God to direct us, however he might, to speak for him, to pray for him, to work for him at our work? Are we at attention, obeying the Lord? In verse 9 of Luke 2 again, we find that the angel that stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Angels are often in the very presence of God. And it's no wonder that when the angel leaves God's presence and makes himself known, that there's a reflection of that glory, just like the moon reflecting the sun there with this angel. And the reason I kind of say that is because there's this thing in Acts 6 about Stephen, the first martyr. And Luke describes that they looked at Stephen and he had the face of an angel. He was glowing, and he hadn't been working at a nuclear facility, but he was reflecting somehow the glory of God, and then there was opened for Stephen the dimension of heaven right before him, and he looked into the throne room of God and saw the Father, and he saw Jesus standing, welcoming Stephen, I believe, standing at the right hand of God, and somehow Stephen was so close to God that the glory of God shone on him as if he was an angel. Maybe that's a way you can know if you're looking at an angel or not. Their glow. I've never run into that myself. Angels, of course, are messengers of good news. In verse 9, it ends. Verse 10, let me read verse 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." They're messengers. They're the UPS people. And they are God's messengers. And what they bring is not a wrapped Christmas present, or I like today I was able to do it quickly, but we just use bags. Don't have to do all the cutting and the tape and all that stuff. But angels don't deliver boxes. They deliver messages of good news from God. And here they bring this great news that a rescuer, a deliverer, a forgiver of sins has been born, the very Son of God. The very word angel comes from the Greek word angelos, which is the Greek word for a messenger. It's used of John when he sends two of his disciples to ask questions of Jesus, if he really is the Messiah. And these messengers of John come back. The same word messengers, angelos, is the word that's used in the New Testament translated angels. They are basically messengers. And we're to be messengers. Last week I mentioned how God's plan today to get the good news to people who have not yet heard of Christ is not through angels, through us. And there's no backup plan. We are to be messengers. And Paul says, how will people hear unless someone tell them? Talking about people, not angels. He says, how blessed are those who have feet who bring the gospel, bring good news. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we think of angels, it gives us a good model of how we are to be the messengers today, because God's using us today, not angels, in, for the most part, in the responsibility to reach every people, tribe, tongue, and nation. And the Lord is going to come and set up his kingdom when the gospel has been preached to every nationality, every ethnic group. What do the angels think about that? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. The angels celebrate international salvation. The angel says, today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The angel says the Savior is for you. But at the end of verse 10, he says, good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. One of the things that stands out to me in studying about angels is they are passionately interested in how people from every tribe, tongue, and nation are going to be made right with God. The Bible says that when one sinner turns from themselves to God and accepts Christ, there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. It's mentioned twice, that statement in Luke 15. The angels get ecstatic when one person who doesn't know Jesus Christ comes to Christ. Do you want to get angels excited? Bring someone to the Savior. Share the good news and let the Holy Spirit and pray for them that they come to know Christ. Because if they do, there's going to be a party in heaven among the angels. Angels give people directions. In Luke chapter 2, verse 12, we find that the angels direct the shepherds where to go. Go to Bethlehem and look for a child that's going to be laid in a manger. There may have been 1, 2, 3 children that would have been born in the size of Bethlehem that night. Bethlehem about the size of Norway with all the people jammed into it for the census. But the baby they would look for would be in a feeding trough. The angel gave directions, and angels do that. Abram's servant was given direction. The women at the tomb that saw it empty, they were given directions where to go and find Jesus. Philip, he was told to go out into the desert by an angel, and there he led probably the first African to Jesus Christ. Angels, I don't know if I've ever gotten directions from an angel. I've asked directions once in a while. My wife finally gets through to me, Rich, ask directions. Verse 18, angels make up a vast army. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Wow. All of a sudden, not only was there one angel with glory, but all of a sudden there's a multitude of angels. And so it was interesting this week trying to figure out how many angels make up a multitude. And the multitude could be anything from 100 people to 100,000. It's fascinating as the more I studied, the more I saw that in the book of Revelation, the ground is going to open up, and out's going to come 100 million angels. Those are bad angels. There's got to be at least 200 million good angels. So how many there are here? I don't know. I found out that myriads and myriads means 10,000 upon 10,000. There is an innumerable number of angels, and how many showed up here, I don't know. But there was a multitude. He can't even give a number here. By the way, there was a story in the Old Testament. This one man, he was scared because he saw all around the city where he was at was the terrible enemy from Syria. And he was shaken in his sandals. And Elisha says to God, God, show him our army. And all of a sudden, the servant looked out and he saw surrounding all the bad army of the Syrians, horses and chariots. The angels had turned themselves into horses and chariots and a mighty army of God. And it's interesting, when you look at what's going on in the world today, there are stories of missionaries who have been protected over and over again, and they've later found out from the tribal people they worked with that the reason the tribe didn't attack them and kill them is because they saw this army around them protecting them. And here we see an army of angels. But what are they doing? They're coming to praise. And who do they praise? Not the shepherds, not Mary, not Joseph, but glory or praise and honor be to God. In the highest, in heaven where God's throne is, may there be honor and glory. And that's what angels do. They draw attention to God. John, he sees all these things in the future and he bows down to the angel and the angel says, get up, John! Worship God, not me. And that's what the angels want us to do today, is to fall on our knees and worship the King of Kings, God himself, in the highest heaven who gave his son for us. And they're also interested, as we mentioned earlier, about what happens to those who will inherit salvation. The last part of verse 14, their request, their affirmation is this: on earth there's going to be peace among men with whom he is pleased. The King James, you know, has peace on earth, goodwill to men. At least the song does. But it talks about, let me see if I can remember my King James. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. But it's actually, they're praising God that with Jesus coming, there's going to be peace now between people and God. People who are sinners are going to be forgiven and reconciled to God. They're going to be right with God because of his good pleasure, because of his favor. You know, Mary doesn't have a corner on God's gracious favor. God's gracious favor comes to all who will believe in him, who will trust him. And they are seen by the angels. And the angels are anticipating that God is going to show his favor. And there will be many people who will receive that favor and will be right with God. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. God predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Kind intention is the same term used there in Luke of God being pleased, God showing favor. Here, God is showing his love and favor to those that he has predestined to adoption as sons. Wow. Now, let me take you to two passages in Revelation, and we'll tie this together about these angels. In Revelation chapter 5, John gets a glimpse of what's going on in heaven, probably today. And he hears these angels. And in Revelation 5, 9, they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain." So they're singing to Jesus. "You were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nations. And if you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." When John gets a piece of heaven, it's angels worshiping Jesus because he has given his life. And the angels know that at some point in the far future, there'll be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation who will have come to know Jesus Christ and who will be forgiven of their sins and who will rule when Jesus Christ comes back. That's what they're praising God for, that he sent his son to bring peace among those whom God is pleased with on earth. Wow. They sang it at the manger, the angels in the shepherd's field. They sing it in heaven today. And in the future, right before Christ comes back, we see in Revelation 7, and we'll close in looking at these verses. In Revelation 7, verse 9, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count," but these aren't angels. These are people who are in heaven from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, and they are standing before the throne and before the Lamb, that's Jesus, clothed in white robes. And palm branches are in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This scene cannot happen today. It's not happening in heaven today. Do you know why? Because the peace that God has for those whom he is well pleased has not yet come to people who are in different parts of Africa and Indonesia and the Middle East, because they haven't heard the gospel. But one day, there's going to be people saved from every tribe in the world. And they will have died and be at Christ in heaven, so this scene can take place. And when it takes place, right before the Lord comes back, when that last tribe that hasn't been reached gets reached, that someone shares the gospel with and someone believes, then there's going to be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation in heaven before the Lord, worshiping Him, praising Him. And how will the angels respond? Glad you asked that. 7:11. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. The angels who sang on Christmas are one day going to fall before the throne of God and say, Wow, what a great God we have. They are going to celebrate, because that's when there will be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation saved and redeemed in heaven. And on Christmas night, they anticipated that now that God's Son had come to die for people, that one day there would be peace on earth for all those whom God has pleased, because they brought good news. It's for all people. And let's have that same heart. That people in Muslim countries, people in tribal places, people in the vast regions of Siberia who have not yet heard will hear. As I've looked over this last year, and I was thinking, you know, what's kind of a highlight for me? And God just put right in my mind this gentleman in this community who called one day and said, I need to be saved. What am I supposed to do to be saved? And so I told him over the phone, I invited him to come and sat down with him and explained to him that Jesus came to pay for his sin. And if he believed that Jesus paid for his sin, invited him into his life, he would be forgiven. He would be saved from hell, saved from sin. And this guy, he thought it through, and he prayed and asked Christ to come in, believing that Jesus died for him and rose again. And I'm not positive in my mind if he sincerely did that. But yet, when I say to God, what's the most exciting thing that happened? That, to me, is the most precious. And if, indeed, he was sincere, and God had opened his eyes, and he recognized he was a sinner, and he asked Christ to come into his life, the angels in heaven were celebrating at that moment. And I continue to talk to him and help him to grow in Christ. But as we look to the future, let's pray that God would give each of us that opportunity to invite someone to Christ, or perhaps to help a missionary go to a place that has not yet heard. Father God, thank you that you sent your Son and you got the word to us through other people. God, we rejoice with the angels when we hear someone come to know Christ. And God, help us to further that end this year. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
In your hymnals, can you hear me? Nope.